Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, inspiration, and illumination. I'm really, really excited about today's show. I think it is such an important topic, and I'm very happy to introduce our guest. We have one guest on the show today, Dr. Karen Singh, radiologist, radiation oncologist at Netcare Alberton, Netcare Park Lane, and Netcare Mill Park Hospitals. Dr. Singh is, as I said, a radiation oncologist, and she's witnessed this real heartbreak when a parent or a loved one is diagnosed with cancer. And often children become the silent witness to the disease. And, you know, these whispered conversations and the kind of strain for these children, trying desperately, obviously, to fill these knowledge gaps, fearing the worst. And Dr. Singh has experienced this firsthand, this heartbreak unfold throughout the years of treating cancer patients. But she's done something about it. And that's what we're talking about during the show. So if this is your experience, if you are on a cancer journey, if you have children and you're finding it so difficult to navigate it with your children, or if one of your children has cancer and you're wondering how the sibling is coping, then this show is for you. And if you don't, if you're not in that position, this is going to be a fascinating story as well. Just most beautiful and wonderful insights from Dr. Singh. So Dr. Singh, welcome. It's so lovely to have you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I truly appreciate given the chance to discuss my book. And if we can change even one life or help even one family, then the book has achieved its purpose.
Absolutely. So Dr. Singh, we're going to talk about the book in a moment, but being a radiation oncologist can't be easy, because when someone is diagnosed with cancer and all their greatest fears start bubbling to the surface, navigating this road that brings about so much fear, so many unknowns. And you know, because with each patient, you're facing that with them. And then, as I said in the introduction, of course, what's added with family members and very specifically with children. So perhaps we can just go back a little bit before we start talking about the book to find out about you. Like, what is it about you that decided to, you know, specialize and go into radiation oncology, knowing how tough it can be and what that experience has been like for you?
I must admit, it's one of the most fulfilling parts of my life. I don't feel like it's work. I feel like every day I go to visit with my friends. Each day is, you know, sitting with the family, sitting with a patient, trying to help them through. Growing up with family members that went through the journey, you know, being on the outskirts of families, seeing how much people struggled through with cancer, it was a no-brainer when I decided to specialize. What's important about cancer is that it's not just about healing a person with medication. It's a whole biopsychosocial approach. So you're not just healing them biologically, but you're also there to help them navigate through this in terms of the psyche of not just the patient, but the entire family. And in a social aspect as well, there's so much more that a person goes through. You know, I always say a patient is not just a number. It's a person who has dreams and aspirations, a person who's a mother or a father, a child, a sibling, a worker, somebody that has so much to give. And it's not just about curing a cancer or curing a symptom.
Did you, when you first started, because so we get an understanding of where you've come from, you know, how you're driven and so passionate about it. It doesn't take away from the fact that sometimes, you know, it could be very challenging dealing with people, you know, maybe they haven't responded very well to the treatment and you've got to tell them and there may be disappointments. How have you navigated that journey? How have you learned with empathy, being able to hold an uncomfortable conversation and celebrate when there are good results? How's that journey been for you?
So most important is that as an oncologist, you must realize you can't cure everyone, but you can help everyone. I may not be able to cure a person with a stage 4 cancer, but I can help them. I can help them with pain control. I can help them to understand their journey. I can help them to make peace with their journey and with their family as well. So my days and my nights are sometimes sitting at the hospice, holding a family member's hand, holding a patient's hand. Some I've promised that I will be there with them right till the end. So that's also helping them. It's not just, you know, write up something and there it is, the magnificent cure, waving the magic wand, but the love that goes into it as well. My patients call me Dr. Gentle Hands. So a lot of it is about the love and empathy that goes across with oncology care. So you have to have a strong heart and you have to know that in some way you can help everybody.
I love what you've said. You may not be able to cure everyone, but you can help. And that's so insightful and it's so very true. And, you know, talking about holding someone's hand in the hospice and being there with some till the very end. I mean, that's not a prerequisite for your job. You know, you're there to help with the oncology, the radiation, but you are so willing to really take that treatment and being there so much further, Dr. Singh. Do you find sometimes it gets too much for you? Do you sometimes get too attached to patients? And that's a very difficult part of your profession.
Of course, every patient is so special to me. It can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. So I do a lot of the creative arts. I paint, I have several paintings where I spend months painting, you know, for 2-3 hours at a time. I write children's books. I do a lot of charity work. So with my kids as well, we go out into the community with quite a few different organizations. So outside of just the medical practice, I try to heal my heart in doing other things as well. The painting and writing of the books was one aspect. And the more we throw ourselves into charity, a charity that's very close to my heart is CHOC, you know, for the children that have cancer, Woodrock, the Grace Factory, and even the Sweetheart Foundation. If you see our company page for Sacred Heart Oncology, you'll see we're constantly doing something. Last week, Friday, we were just at CHOC, taking some proceeds from the books. And since it was my birthday, I filled in the rest of the money and we took groceries. So you're constantly feeling that you're doing something. You don't have a chance to sit and wallow and think about it. And yes, every person that passes, every person who's bad results, we celebrate the good results and those that sometimes the results aren't the best. But, you know, it's that hope and positivity and seeing how can we cope with this? What can we do? How can I help you with this? And sometimes I don't know the answers. Sometimes I just sit and I hold their hand. Mm-hmm. From the first appointment, a patient walks in, I always tell them at the end of the first consult, we give a lot of hugs here. And whether you like it or not, you'll learn to love it. And that's how my practice is with every patient that walks into through that door.
Oh, Dr. Singh, you just sound too wonderful. You talk about having a strong heart. You have a huge heart and a very soft heart and a strong heart. And, you know, I'm sure there's so many people who are listening who agree with me. And, of course, this beautiful heart that you have, you mentioned that CHOC is very close to your heart. And so we're looking at children and we're looking at how children are impacted, how they are affected when parents are diagnosed, family members are diagnosed. And this is something that you haven't overlooked. And in fact, you share a story about a particular moment. And I'd love you to be able to share that with our audience if you know what story I'm talking about, which, you know, got you to decide to write a book. Perhaps you can share that with us.
Sure. Thank you for that. So it happened a short while ago. where I was doing my usual consultation, and the couple that had come in had decided to leave their little daughter outside with her coloring book. But and as we were talking about everything, I could see through the, you know, the door was a bit ajar, that she wasn't really coloring. Her ears were like these little bat ears, trying to tune in and to listen to what was going on. And when the parents came out, you know, she was looking up at them quite desperately, trying to understand what had just happened. And they said, no, everything is fine. And then they walked away with her looking all confused and befuddled. And at that point, I realized, you know, it's more than just who's sitting in the room. It's who's holding their hand at home, who's there, you know, in the on the car ride to and from the appointment. And I realized we were actually overlooking the children. As much as I sat with the elders in the family and the patient and their husband and their parents or siblings, it was the children that were being ignored. And from my own experiences and interactions with my children, I've realized how very intelligent they are and how little we understand that they actually, in the current world, they read about all these things on social media and through their, you know, through their studying. So they know a lot. They know a lot of big concepts, but emotionally, just because IQ-wise, they're quite advanced, the current generation, I think EQ or the emotional quotient needs some development. And this book was meant to help parents to start the conversation about the big C word, you know, and I always tell the patients, use the word, say cancer, because your child has heard it. Your child has heard it at school from peers, they've seen it online, and they have so much of fears. So this book is not meant to be the be all and end all. It's the opening. It's to sit down with your child, and it's that opening conversation to hear what is it that they understand about it, what would they like to know, and, you know, what are their fears and how can they be part of the process. It's been very well received amongst people with not just young kids but also older kids, teenagers as well.
I love that, Dr. Singh. I just, you know, we've had so many cancer warriors on the show who are parents, and in the beginning they don't tell their children because they want to protect their children. And yes. So they go off and they go for treatment and they come back and they're feeling awful. And as you've said, with this little girl who had stopped coloring in because she knew that there was something, and then eventually the parents have to tell their children and they can't believe. And, you know, each story is obviously different, but from my experience of interviewing quite a few, how their children are able to rise to the occasion, that they are able to handle a lot more than they originally thought. And I'm wondering, Dr. Singh, because you have so many years of experience, that perhaps the inability to share it with the child is perhaps the discomfort in the cancer patient themselves, with the discomfort with the cancer and the facing the cancer. And that perhaps the book is as much a healing for them and an opening for them as it is for their children. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is a beautiful summation of that, exactly that. I've had adults buy the book for their adult sisters, you know, to try and talk about it. Also for them to, people without children have bought the book as well. Just to read through it, you know, it's not meant to be an adult book as such, but they said, you know, just reading it, and it's helped them just think about their journey in a bit of a simpler way. Quite a few oncology practices have bought the book and put it in their waiting areas, where not really there's children, but parents, it gives them an idea how to go back and how to talk about the subject, whether it's with young children, adult children, siblings, you know, or just at work, like the way I would talk about it.
So it's called Mama's Garden of Hope, and it's beautiful and it's very colorful and it's beautifully illustrated. Perhaps you can just tell us what it's about and why you have used this gorgeous garden kind of as a metaphor for a cancer journey.
Thank you. So even before I talk about the story, I'd like to talk about the construction of the book. So please. The book is very brightly colored, so that it grabs the attention of young children. The book has big writing, not just for children, But for cancer sufferers, that's one of the things that goes with chemo, is that the vision goes poor. So if you're sitting up and trying to read this with your child, you know, it's big writing. You don't have to try and squint and see the words. So big writing, not just for the child, but also for the parent or the person reading it with. The pages are also thick pages. A lot of cancer patients have neuropathies or you know, pins and needles and weakness and difficulty with their hands and their feet. So the reason the thick pages, so that it's easy for a person that had therapy who's struggling with the neuropathy in their hands to actually turn the pages. So this book used exactly that, a garden metaphor. Gardening and the change of seasons that goes through it, it's all about growth and optimism. And I didn't want it to be a depressing book when we talk about a topic that can often be regarded as depressing. I wanted it to be one of hope. So it basically follows the story of a little girl, Emma, and her mom. She and her mom love to do gardening, and at some point she realized that her mom's energy levels wasn't as it used to be. She didn't laugh out as much. She didn't, you know, she wasn't as eager to be in the garden. She wasn't as strong in the garden. And she asks her mom what exactly is going on. And mom explains to her, in the same way that they take out the weeds from the garden, her doctors are going to use special medication like chemotherapy and radiation therapy to take out the weeds from her body. And the book follows mom's journey as she goes through her cancer journey, and she loses her hair, and then the hair starts to grow back slowly. Also, if it is a book discussed earlier on in the journey, it's something that the mom and the child, or the parent and the child, can discuss. So when mom's hair starts to fall out, it's not, you know, something that the child is so anxious and scared about, and mom has to hide with dukes. So the child can see that this is what happens. There's a few little examples how the child can help mom and be part of the process. By example, bringing her warm socks for her feet that are always cold because of the neuropathy, helping to massage her hands, helping to keep her warm, making sure she has a little beanie to be outside in the cold. But simple things to help the child understand, this is what mom's journey ahead is going to look like, and this is how I can be part of the process. I may not be part of the medical process, but I will be there with her at home. And then to also show them the hope at the end of it, that at the end of all of this, it's a big celebration and we're back in the garden that's, you know, up and beautiful with all these flowers that are blooming, in the same way that the hope blooms in their hearts.
And you really have thought of everything, Dr. Singh, as you say, with the font size and the thickness of the pages and the colours attracting the children. And as you said as well, for children to read, they can read it on their own, depending. Adults can read it with them. And it really is a very, very beautiful story. So was it something that took you a while to think about? Because it's quite a vast topic, really. You talk about hope at the end, and there are some situations which you know only too well where maybe mom doesn't get better and maybe she deteriorates. So for you, when you were writing, what was important for you to get across, bearing in mind that each person's story is and journey is so unique?
That point was brought up to me as well at the Cape Literary function that was held in January, because I go out with my puppets and I tell the story and try to explain to the children. And the questions that were coming from 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds, they asked me exactly that. Not every story has a happy ending, but they were giving me ideas for my next book. So this book was one of hope, and it was just to start the conversation. The next book that is in the process, it's going to be speaking a little more about when it doesn't go as positively, but how parents and the child can, you know, interact with that and how they can work through that process together. The story itself was written over a weekend, and then it took a whole 6 or 7 months in terms of the illustrations, because I worked with an illustrator that's currently based in Japan. So with the timelines and the specific vision I knew that I wanted for each picture. It was a back and forth. And then the from start to finish, it was about a year before it was published. So even though the story was written in a weekend, it was a whole year from start to finish in terms of illustrations, the final copy, making sure everything that was my vision was in the book. Mm. In terms of color, font size, texture. Yeah.
It's just absolutely wonderful. We're going to take a break and play a song, and then we'll return. We'd love to hear, you know, what it's like launching a book like this, how it's been received. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Nikki Seberini and delighted to be with you on this rather lovely Thursday afternoon, certainly a beautiful winter's afternoon in Johannesburg. And we're having such a wonderful conversation with Dr. Karen Singh, radiation oncologist at Netcare Alberton, Netcare Park Lane, and Netcare Mill Park Hospitals, with such a beautiful, strong, open, and very soft heart as well. And Dr. Singh just sharing what it's like to be a radiation oncologist and how, you know, she leads with her heart. And she saw many children waiting in the background, so to speak, to find out what was happening with their children and with their parents, and parents finding it difficult to have the conversation, the cancer conversation, with their children. And so she wrote this book called Mama's Garden of Hope. And it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful story, and it's just a fantastic guide. And it really is about hope, but being able to cover all the conversations of a mother being ill and her daughter being there for her, going through the treatment, losing her hair, the daughter being able to, as I said, help her mom through it. And not only that, but it kind of gives words, reading this book, whether it's parents reading with their children or children reading on their own, but certainly giving them an opportunity to find words that they've been searching for during this confusing, sad, horrible, challenging time that they are going through. And also, what I love about what Dr. Singh says is that children belong in the healing process and not outside it. And I think that Dr. Singh, is really what this is all about, is knowing that the children can be part of the process, because they are far more intelligent, as you said, than we think, really. I mean, not intelligent, rather they know what's going on and they can handle these conversations. So you wrote the book, and I'm sure publishing it and getting it out there, it has been very well received. Perhaps you can just share with us some stories that you've received, perhaps some parents who've shared it with their children or children who have read it and made you think, I'm so delighted I wrote this book, because this is the feedback I'm getting.
Yes, thank you. So it started last year at when it won the best children's book at the Cape Flats. I was asked to speak about it, and immediately afterwards at the awards function, I had a whole lot of other attendees come and talk to me about their journey and how they saw value in a book like this to share their story with their own family. I was then invited to the Cape Literary Festival in January to come read the book to children in Cape Town during the festival. And we had a whole big hall full of kids, and I took along my little puppets and read it, and there were lots and lots of questions. I've now also, as the book is being sold, a lot of parents are contacting in, and not just about like young children, even teenagers. One mom told me that her son, she has cancer, but her dad had died of cancer a few years previously. And her son was, you know, very quiet and never spoke about it. And he actually put his hand up in class, and he's a very quiet person, and started speaking about the topic. And then he had other children join in. So we have a whole lot of kids that come up to me when their parents come in. They come and give me a hug. I write little messages, personal messages for each one in their book, so they believe that the book is for them. Some parents have told me that the child sleeps with the book under their pillow every night because it's their name on the book with a little message. So they feel like it's their, the book was specifically written for them and, you know, to support their mom through it. Some kids have started doing stuff that's in the book, making sure that their mom runs and gets, you know, making sure they have enough blankets and sockies and massaging their hands, all these little acts of love that they feel a little motivated and they want to do something for mom, especially now that it's encouraging them to talk about it. Other mothers have come to me crying as well to say that they didn't realize their teens or tweens knew so much. And when they took a copy of the book home and left it on the, you know, in the lounge and said, read it and we'll talk about it, and how much actually came out of it and how much the child had heard through the last few weeks and months of the treatment, the hushed conversations at night that they were having, you know, in their own little bedroom, but the child was actually listening to. So it opened up the channels of conversation so much. So the main thing is basically, you know, children understand so much more than we give them credit for. So don't try to protect them from your journey. Rather, embrace your journey and embrace their part in your journey. Mm-hmm. And that is what has through from whoever's read the book and who has bought it for, you know, friends or colleagues and such.
Dr. Singh, you talk about learning so much, as you say, from the questions and answers, because you realize that, yeah. I mean, some, as you said, some of the children have said, but what if it doesn't work out positively? Yeah. And you wrote about hope, and you've brought up teenagers, because I don't know how old Emma is in the book, but she's relatively youngish. She's not a teenager. And so she can appeal to quite a wide range, a age group, but certainly not teenagers. And that would definitely be a different conversation, wouldn't it? So, I mean, how many books are you going to be writing with other conversations? Because this is such a vast topic, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, it was just the opening chapter of what will follow. This book as well, on purpose, did not only have tiny words. There were big words as well. So that if an older child as such, a tween, read it, they also felt that it wasn't a baby's book. It was a book meant for them. So there are some magnificent big words as well, you know, just to let them know it's not only for tiny children. And it's for young children to learn big words as well and to learn meanings of words. So it wasn't meant in any way to make them feel, like babies. It wasn't meant to in any way make them feel less than what they are or to belittle them. It was a book to encourage them and to recognize how very intelligent they are and how they understand everything and how we can use that as a launch pad as such for further discussions. But definitely there are more books in the process.
Well, we're going to have lots of conversations about all the other books as well, Dr. Singh. So often when I interview cancer warriors, what's often difficult is handing over the sense of control. Not all of them have that sense of control, but handing it over to family members, to friends, to say, okay, I always do everything for everyone. I'm now going to sit back and people are going to do for me. And that's very, very difficult for some people. It's a big ask to accept help and assistance. And I'm wondering how that would be with a child, you know, as parents. And again, we're all different. But I know that so many parents want to protect their children from discomfort, from this terrible journey, from all of that. And the last thing they want is for their children to roll up their sleeves and get involved in something that can be icky or uncomfortable. And I'd really love to unpack that, because perhaps it's an extension of what you've said, that children can hold so much more than what we give them credit for. Perhaps you can just expand on this. I think it's an important part of the topic.
I think as long as we speak to children honestly and with much compassion, we will then realize how much our child understands and how much to discuss with them. Obviously, certain children will need more information and others a little less. So that's why when this, again, was just a starter book, it just mentioned concepts like chemo and radiation and, you know, the surgeon who's going to cut out everything and a little bit about like the few symptoms you would have. And I wanted to check how well this was received before we go on in our future books to talk about bigger topics and, in, you know, again, against the ages. This was the opening chapter, and then there will be books according to more age relevant and with more information as well. And also perhaps, you know, books for children who are actually going through cancer treatment to understand what they're going through. So this was just our starter, you know, from a flame has to start. Mm-hmm. And from there, the pages. So this was our starting flame, and the feedback has been so positive.
Yeah.
And it's given me, you know, the ideas of how well it was received, what was the, you know, what children said. I took that, and that festival was actually the most amazing thing, because the way they told me and what they said about it, and I bought these little dollies and I cut their hair. I shaved the one hair out completely, and then we cut it in, you know, so that they could visually see what was happening, like how the hair was shorter and then it was growing longer and longer, and how the color changed and the consistency of the hair changed. So lots of little things that you can discuss with children ahead of time, so they, you know, to preempt what is going to happen. But of course, we are not there to in any way belittle them as well. So there will be different books for different age groups in the future.
Yeah. And I'm interested with those, with all of these children that you had this such in an enlightening conversation with, right? You got such a clear insight of what they want and the direction you should be moving in. Were some of them had parents who had cancer, or were they all children of parents who had cancer? Was it a mixed group?
It was just at this festival. There were very few that actually had parents with cancer. They were mainly they were just children. And I got them up, because of all my little dollies, so I got them to be up on stage holding the little dollies and showing and, you know, asking questions to the audience. And somebody had an aunt or a neighbor. And then one said, oh, so that's why she was wearing the little dookie. And we spoke about that. And then again, I took out the dookie from the, I didn't want to scare them right at the beginning. So the one where the mom had lost her hair had a little scarf on the head, and then I gently peeled it back and showed that this is what mom's hair looks like. And, you know, with everything she's going through, this is what her treatment can make her feel a little bit irritable. She doesn't love you any less. It's just what her treatment is doing to her. How can you help her with other things around the house? And if she is a little bit shouty or angry sometimes, she can't help it, because this is what her treatment is doing to her body. And, you know, she's fighting to be so strong to be here with you every day. So bear with her, and she's going to get better, you know, as one aspect of it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more than what was just mentioned in the book that we spoke about. We said, oh, so that's why she was like this. And she and I would tell them, like, she's in bed a lot of the time. It's not because she loves you any less. It's just the treatment. It's taken its toll on her body. She needs to rest. She needs to recover and grow stronger so that she can be, you know, back with you. So exactly what the book shows as well. Mom sitting down on the chair outside while Emma is doing her gardening. And later on, mommy's back with her outside, because it says there were days where mom, you know, there were hard days where mom struggled. And then there were good days where mom was better able to sit outside with her, but it was a process. So a lot of conversation, you know, topics that can arise from it, but in an honest and empathetic way.
You know, and the reason I asked about whether they'd all, you know, what the audience was like, is that those who had had the experience, you know, they were saying, oh, well, that's why mom was like that. But you had a whole lot of other children who didn't have that experience, and yet they were still curious and they still wanted to listen. And, you know, it's not just helping the children whose parents are going through it, but it's really changing a whole mindset around cancer. You know, people talk about the C word and they whisper, and it's, as you say, those hushed tones. So for children to be able to engage with it in that way, with a curiosity and asking questions, that's a whole nother side to it as well. You know, it's a whole educational aspect, which is so important.
It was, and also to acknowledge what they were feeling. So I did say, you know, I did tell them, it's okay for you to feel overwhelmed as well, as much as mommy's or dad, whoever's going through this journey is overwhelmed by the treatment. You're allowed to also feel sad. You're allowed to feel happy. You are allowed to feel helpless. But whatever you're going through, you know, your mom or your parent, whoever's going through this, doesn't love you any less. And sometimes just sit there and hold their hand, you know. So if you validate what they're feeling, again, you get the buy-in of the children to be part of the discussion. They're seeing that what they're feeling is not being played down. It's being validated. And how can we now, you know, whatever mom goes through, how do we celebrate it, or how do we help her? Little victories, like I tell my patients, every little victory is a celebration. And throughout every journey as well, it's not just about dying. It's about living as well, and living with love us the most.
Well, if you've just tuned in and you're wondering what this interesting conversation is all about, Dr. Singh, a radiation oncologist at Netcare Alberton and Park Lane and Mill Park, has written a book called Mama's Garden of Hope. And it's that bridge, that conversation, that opener between parents and children, parents who have been diagnosed with cancer, and all through a beautifully beautiful story with these metaphors of a garden and weeds and a garden growing. So we're going to take a break, Dr. Singh, and then we've just got one or two more questions. But please stay with us, and we'll be back.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, welcome back to the show, The Dealing Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Dr. Singh, radiation oncologist at Netcare Alberton, Park Lane and Mill Park, has been on the show talking about her book, Mama's Garden of Hope. And Dr. Singh, just as you say, this is just the first in many, but certainly there is, you know, so much that needs to be unpacked with in this world of cancer, really. And I'm not sure if you know so much about the DL Link, this amazing organization that within this community and broader communities, you know, they are this link between parents, children, family members who are on a cancer journey, and they are building an amazing center. So I actually sent them a message and I said, this copy that you sent me, and thank you very much, I'm going to be sharing this copy with them, because they look after many of the children whose parents are on a cancer journey, as well as those themselves who are on cancer journeys. And they do extraordinary things. They take the children on outings. They give them wonderful experiences, bring things for them to play with while their parents are going for treatment, for example. And I think that this book will be a book that they will be able to read with some of the children there. So I just wanted you to know that within this show and within the community and with what the DL Link does, this book is going to go a far way. So thank you so much. And thank you so very much for joining us. Before we say goodbye, is there anything else that you wanted to share that perhaps we didn't cover?
I just wanted to say thank you so much for the opportunity to showcase the book. And again, if it can help even one family, it has all been worth it. Aww. And watch this space. We have a whole lot more on its way. Every time I talk about the book, there are new ideas for future books and from the show as well. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for the opportunity, and you guys are amazing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Singh. Thank you so much for joining us. As I said, such a beautiful big heart, a strong heart and a soft heart. And we so appreciate you. So thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in. It has been, as it always is, a true pleasure to be with you. So for me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, take care and goodbye.